Do I Feel Blessings? This is Kaylin Castell, and this is the audio I promised on Eris, the dwarf planet that was discovered in January of 2005. It is the most massive known dwarf planet in our solar system and the ninth most massive body known to orbit our sun. It is one of the reasons it was named Eris is because it caused so much strife and discord in the astronomical community that they wound up demoting Pluto from a planet to a dwarf planet and elevating Ceres, the asteroid Ceres, from a asteroid to a dwarf planet and then creating this category of dwarf planets. So Eris is a dwarf planet, appears to be larger than Pluto. And when it was initially discovered, they were calling it the 10th planet, but it's called a dwarf planet. Ceres has a 560-year orbit. It is very, very far away from the sun. It is so far away from the sun that if you stood on Eris and looked back towards our sun, the sun would look like any other star as if you were standing on Earth looking out towards the stars. So this is just a little bit of the astronomical background of Eris. She is the goddess of, as I said earlier, strife and discord in the Greek tellings. Lineage that she comes from, she's described as the eldest daughter of Nyx, N-Y-X, Nyx, who is the goddess of the night. And her father is Kronos, the lord of time. And as the eldest daughter, she's the one who inspires action because strife is really about striving for a better life, to strive for something better. So in some other versions of her story, she's also described as the daughter of Zeus and Hera and the sister to Ares, the god of war. And so I thought it would be interesting just to kind of look at strife or discord, both implying conflict, struggle, challenges, and Eris as the goddess of strife is the one who really pushes people to action. And it's interesting to note that Eris is in Aries. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but Aries is the archetype and was discovered in Aries, is the archetype most connected to action. Strife or discord, discord comes from a Latin word. Dis is having to do with dividing things or separating things, and cord comes from cors, which is Latin for the heart. And so there's that sense of a separation from our heart. And so I'm going to come back to that piece a little bit later because I think that's a really important piece to sum up how to work with Eris. And in April of 2011, Eris is highly featured in the Celestial Timings. And so you can check out the written version of the Celestial Timings to get more of what's going on with her, as well as the other audio recording that I did on the general overview of the Celestial Timings for April. So the story that is most famous and most connected to Eris is the called The Judgment of Paris. And in this story, we find that Eris and Paris both rhyme, but that Paris, before he's born, well, his mother is pregnant with him, and her name is Hecuba, and her husband is the king of Priam. She has a dream that her baby, when she gives birth to her baby, he's a firebrand and is wreaking havoc and destruction, and that she wakes up screaming that Troy is burning to the ground. Troy is the homeland here. So the king orders the child to be put to death when he's born, and they give the baby to a shepherd or a herdsman, and the herdsman takes the baby and puts him on Mount Ida to die, to be left to die to exposure. The shepherd or the herdsman returns a few days later, and the baby's still alive, so he takes the baby home and raises him secretly, names him Paris, and as he grows, he becomes known for his beauty, his abilities, his athletic abilities. We could say in modern day terms, he was a jock. beyond handsome, athletic, witty, you know, one of those kind of guys, and very sought after by the women. So it comes to pass that there's a wedding of a mortal, Peleus, and a goddess, Thetis, and this wedding is taking place on Mount Pelion, and everyone's invited, all the gods and goddesses, except for Eris, who is, of course, the goddess of discord, and people don't really like her. She's considered to be a troublemaker. She's ill-tempered. She's hard to get along with, so they don't invite her. So, of course, this upsets Eris, and she decides to retaliate, and she brings a golden apple to the wedding feast. And in some versions of the story, it says that she leaves the golden apple on the table with an inscription that says, for the fairest. And others say that she throws it into the, she walks in, throws it into the midst of the wedding feast. It lands between the three goddesses, Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite, who all are vying to, they want the apple. They want to be considered the fairest. So it creates this competition. And so Zeus, who is the father of Athena and Aphrodite, and also married to Hera, decides to take himself out of the competition because he knows there's no way he could choose one of them. So they need to find a judge, and they decide to ask Paris, who is considered to be a good judge of beauty, being someone who is considered very handsome and beautiful according to the standards of the time. And he agrees to be the judge, and so he is offered three bribes, and each goddess comes before him to show off her beauty so that Paris can have an opportunity to make the judgment. And as they each come before him, they offer him a bribe. Hera offers a great marriage that would assure him tremendous wealth and power, and he would have also have the greatest kingdom of earth to rule over. So Paris is thinking, wow, that sounds pretty good. But then Athena comes along and promises him victory in all of his battles, and that he would also have glory in everything that he does and the wisdom that goes with that as well. And so he considers, and at the time, the Greeks considered these the three most precious gifts that anyone could have. And he's like, that sounds pretty good. But then Aphrodite comes before him and offers him the gift of love with the most beautiful woman in the land or in the world at that time, and that the beauty of this woman would equal Aphrodite. And she very seductively stands before him and makes this offer, and Paris is so overcome with her beauty, he immediately, without even thinking, gives her the apple. So she basically wins the contest. And the other promise that she makes Paris is that he will have the greatest delights possible in the experience of lovemaking with this most beautiful woman. So, of course, that's the one that he chooses. He chooses it in the moment. He doesn't really think about it. He's pretty, spontaneously just like, okay, here's the apple. It's all yours. Anyway, so this, of course, upset Athena and Hera, and they became immediate enemies of Aphrodite. Aphrodite arranges for Paris to meet Helen of Troy, who is considered the most beautiful woman at the time, and she's married to the king Menelaus. And so they, of course, meet and instantly fall in love, and Menelaus is not a happy camper about that, and so they flee to Troy. So so that begins the 12 years of the Trojan War, and that's a whole other long, long story. But we could kind of look at this story as when we do not embrace the shadow pieces, the pieces that that have to do with discord, that have to do with strife, that have to do with the parts of ourselves that have been disowned or denied. Eris, this is very similar to Pluto, actually. Eris will get our attention. She will create a way to get our attention. So this discord is really describing the hurt feelings, the feelings that are of the heart, that are hurt, that have been disconnected or divided or separated from our hearts. And if we think of discord as also fostering competition, and that the whole competition between the three goddesses to be claimed as the fairest, that there's scarcity, that only one of them could have the golden apple, only one of them could be claimed as the fairest, rather than that they could all three be claimed as the fairest, that there's plenty for everyone. So again, this is coming from a place of competition and scarcity, and it is an old paradigm model from the patriarchy. And part of the challenge, or maybe part of the opportunity that we have now, is transforming this discord and strife by reconnecting with our hearts and taking action from our that is designed to heal our hearts, and committing to loving ourselves and to loving all life and to loving all the parts that we don't necessarily like that much, including, you know, the parts that we may feel are disagreeable, that are challenging. We might have judgments about them in the same way that the gods and goddesses had judgments about Eris. And committing to really, truly loving ourselves and all of our parts, loving our lives, and loving all life as a way to perhaps bring us back into our hearts. Instead of being in discord, then we can be in unity. We can reunify ourselves with that place within our hearts. And so over the month of April 2011, and actually over these next many months, as we continue through the long transit of Uranus through Aries, and Uranus will eventually catch up to Eris. So this will apply to that. And, you know, every year Venus, Sun, and Mercury pass by Eris. The moon passes by once each month. And every 12 years, Jupiter will come by this place. So remembering these mysteries, and remembering to work to connect with our hearts and to honor the value of loving ourselves, loving each other, knowing that from the place of love there is plenty. And when we're reconnected to that place, we move from discord to unity. So a little practice that might be helpful is tapping on your heart, or putting your hand on your heart, or whatever can help you to get connected with your heart. Maybe taking a couple of deep breaths into the heart area, tuning into your heart, dropping your awareness into your heart, and saying to yourself, I love myself. I love and accept myself. As you continue to, maybe I like to tap on my heart because it helps me to bring my awareness there. I love myself. I love and accept myself, exactly how I am in this moment. I love my life. I love and accept my life exactly as it is right now. I love myself. I love and accept myself. And I love and accept my life. And I love and accept all life as it is exactly right now. So these are some ways that can help bring us into our heart, and then to make our choices from that connection with the heart. And in that way, we can transform the challenges that Eris brings us, to remind us that it's about the connection to the heart.